Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Rebecca Ross with Skyline Home Loans, your host for Your Financial Fitness. I'm here with John Burroughs, my partner with Skyline Home Loans. Today, our topic is veterans real estate, and our leading lady is Christina Warden with Mission Real Estate. Good afternoon, Christina.
Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Hey, John.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for listening in to this special show. And Christina, we appreciate you coming by to help us out with this broadcast. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you asking me. I'm excited to talk about this topic.
So tell me about VA loan benefits, Christina.
So one of the biggest benefits to the VA loan is that there is no down payment required, which is huge. Some other great benefits to that is that there's no private mortgage insurance required because it is a loan that is guaranteed backed by the government. And it also gives you lower interest rates because the government guarantees.
All positive. And why do you want to help veterans in particular?
My biggest reason for helping veterans is I just feel a strong attachment to them. My grandfather served in World War II. My uncle died in combat in the Vietnam War. My sister was in the Navy and was one of the first to be in the Persian Gulf after 9/11 on her aircraft carrier. And when I moved to San Diego, some of the best friends I made were veterans, like a whole lot of former Marines and Navy. So, I mean, they give so much to our country. I feel like this is such a great benefit they have that so many are not aware of. And I just want to educate people and make sure the veterans are getting all of the great benefits. So we need to serve them back.
Absolutely. And our San Diego community does have a large veteran community for sure.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. In fact, in my 35-plus year career, I think back now, and the very first loan I ever did in the mortgage industry was a VA loan, and I come from a military family. My father served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, all three, so I have the utmost respect for veterans myself. Let me ask you this question, Christine. And we talk about VA loans, Veteran Administration loans, but I'm sure many of the people, we have our own vernacular and we talk in code sometimes, but just tell me exactly who qualifies, who's eligible to get a VA loan, because it certainly is an amazing program.
Yes, so I think that it's a lot of people thought that it was just veterans who would qualify, but that's not entirely true. It is all veterans who have served at least two or more years being honorably discharged, but also who qualifies is our active duty after being active for either 90 days during wartime or 180 during peacetime. And then it's also eligible for our reserves and National Guard to use after 6 years of participation, unless they are called to active duty, then they would fall under the same guidelines as the active duty people. And also, surviving spouses qualify for the VA loan as long as it was a military-related death and they cannot be remarried.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's quite a few people out there in general, and particularly for us where we're geographically located, that's a large part of our population. So thank you for being specific.
Yes. And how do you find out how much you qualify for, Christina?
So actually the easiest way to find out how much you qualify for is to talk to a loan officer. They have a certificate of eligibility that is provided from the VA. So the amount you qualify for is going to depend on what your rank was when you got out, or either what it currently is being active. San Diego County maxes out at $690,000 right now is what you can get up to with a VA loan. So it's a really good chunk of money.
And if you go
I've even seen loans going up to $1 million with some special circumstances as well. I believe I've even done those transactions, but it's a little too technical to get in for our listeners, but be it known that that is possible too. So higher loan limits under certain circumstances are possible.
Yes, if you want it over the $690,000, then you would have to contribute to a down payment. But then, yeah, it's called a VA jumbo loan. And, yeah, you can go above that $690,000. It's just that is what is going to be backed by the government. So once you go over that marker, then you have to start accounting for a down payment to make up the difference.
So what kind of promotions are there out there for VA buyers?
I work with multiple lenders that offer a substantial amount of money to put towards your closing costs. So the lenders I work with provide between $5,000 and $7,000 for closing costs towards the VA, because closing costs, I mean, people think no money down would mean no money out of pocket, but that's not true. So you still have to cover your closing costs. So if somebody's willing to help you out with that, especially when you're military related, like, that's a huge benefit.
So let me interject here too, because I actually have a couple of questions too. You've said a few things that sparked other questions too. I'd like to explain to people what that whole insurance process is all about. When the government puts out a program like this, and it's similar to other loan programs, they have what they call the VA funding fee. Now, that, as you know, Christina, is part of the insuring process. When we say it's a government-backed loan, it's because the government is insuring those loans against default. They don't actually give the money to the buyers or people refinancing, but with the VA loans, they insure them. I'll give a simple example. If you went out and borrowed $100,000 using a VA loan and it's insured against default, meaning in the unlikely event or unfortunate event somebody were to be foreclosed on, the VA would then pay the lender 25% of that $100,000 to mitigate any losses that they had. So this is how the program is able to exist. There's exceptions to the rules, and we'll get down to that a little bit further in the show. So that whole insuring process is all about the government backing. And I'm really glad to say, too, that even with a zero down payment, and I don't know if the two of you are aware of this fact, they are also the highest level of performance for loans on the marketplace out there, meaning the lowest segment of home loans, well above all, that have the least amount of defaults, which I find really interesting, too, statistics, even with a zero down payment on it. So I know, Rebecca, you had some other questions relevant to other exceptions we touched on, something about widows, but backtrack for me on that one, if you would.
Well, I wanted to ask about the availability of VA lending for widows or widowers. And Christina kind of touched upon that.
Yeah, Christina, what you had mentioned that they're available to widows and widowers, and I meant to take a note. What exactly were the criteria for that again?
So the widow or widower cannot be remarried, and the death of the spouse that is now gone, it has to be a service-related cause of death in order for the widow or widower to be able to qualify for the VA loan.
So
I had an interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting case where a widow, her husband did not die in combat, but they were able to prove the VA accepted that he was deceased from an illness that he got cancer from, I think it was Agent Orange or something like that. And then because of that, she was able to use the VA.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in combat. It just has to be related to the military. So if it were that you got a disability when you got discharged, and then, you know, 10 years later, that disability was a correlation to your death, that's something that you could use to qualify for this loan. So it doesn't to be in combat. It just has to be service connected in some way.
Makes sense. And Christina, just in case our listeners may want to reach out to you after the show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
They could contact me either through email or my telephone number, and my email address is Christina, with C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, and then .missionrealestatesd@gmail.com. And my phone number is 920-590-0293.
Great, thanks. And if you didn't catch those contact details, we'll have her information listed in our show notes.
I have another question to you. Christina, you had mentioned the certificate of eligibility. Now, I know from experience that that's relevant to showing that if you are a first-time home buyer and have never used your VA benefits before, that is the piece of paper, if you will, that tells us that, yes, you are eligible. Exactly. I mean, that's a process, I assume. How does a veteran or active duty procure their certificate of eligibility? Where do they find that?
Well, like I stated earlier, the easiest way to go about it is to ask your loan officer to get it for you, because it's very easy for them to punch in a few numbers and pull it up. But if that isn't the way you want to go and you're just curious on your own, you can just go to the VA website, and they have a link within there to go get your eligibility certificate.
And there's other papers that they have to go along with that to get that certificate. I know if you're discharged from service, you have to issue, I believe, the I'm looking for the form number. Help me out here, Rebecca.
DD-214.
Oh, yes, there we go. So they would have to accompany that with the request, I presume. And if they're active military, they haven't been discharged yet, so they're just going to show that they're actively in service right now. Another question, too. I've heard and I've seen that veterans have used their VA benefits for a home purchase multiple times. So I know from experience, too, that is a possibility. So can you dig in and drill down a little deeper on that one, too? Because it's not just the first time around.
Yes, you are able to use it multiple times. So just as, say, a quick example, so in San Diego County, you can qualify up to $690,000. So let's say you got $600,000 of that and you wanted to purchase a condo here in San Diego that cost $400,000. you still have $200,000 left to use, and you could use that to purchase a house in another state or another county. Like, yes, you are eligible to use whatever you qualify for. So that can be used for as many properties as you would like. The only kind of stipulation to that is that when you procure a VA loan, you have to have intent to occupy. So you can't, like, use it to go out and buy a condo and then say, hey, I'm going to rent this out to my buddies. You're supposed to have the intent to occupy. So
but
you
if
can
you would
use it to purchase-
buy it in the, where you were living and then you moved
yes.
because you were stationed somewhere different, you could use it again for the purchase of where you were moving to.
Yes. So that's what I was going to just touch on next, where even if you don't want to own multiple properties within the same VA loan, once you sell the property that you bought the VA loan with and then, you know, that house is paid off because you've received the funds from the new homeowner, that goes back to your VA loan eligibility. So then you would be eligible, like, all over again for the same amount. So it's like the loan restores itself once you've paid off the initial property you purchased with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Question on
perfect
property
sense.
Type. You mentioned condos. What are the restrictions on buying a condo if I'm a veteran?
So the biggest restriction with condos is, well, they have to be VA approved, and a lot of times that depends on the owner occupancy within the condo community. So the VA loans really like it when the homeowners live in the homes they own. So if you have a higher homeowner occupancy within your VA or your condo complex, it's more likely it would be VA approved. That, I believe, is usually the biggest factor as to why condos don't get VA approved. But that is also a thing that you can go on to the VA website and you can search the specific condo to see if it's on their list of approved. And if it's not, you could go to your lender and they could try and help you get it VA approved. It's not all that difficult to get a complex approved if it's not already.
If it meets certain criteria. Right. Great.
I have
right.
a question here for you. I want to backtrack. You had said something about earlier about some of the costs. There's no down payment required on a VA loan. Of course, we've established that now, unless it's over the county loan limits. But you talked about lender credits, which can be procured. But what about the whole side of the seller credits in this kind of a marketplace right now? And, of course, this is going to be different all over the United States. Each county is going to be a little different. Each market's a little different. But focused in Southern California, you can request from the seller that they can give credits back to you as a buyer on that. Do you see that coming up very often, Christina?
It is a possibility, but I feel like for the VA loan, it's usually in your best interest to not ask for them, but you definitely can. It's allowed.
So it's just part of the negotiation process. I mean, I guess from the seller's perspective, all they can really say is no, but it doesn't hurt to ask. So there's other ways to, you know, to look for some incentive when you're doing these too. Another focus I know that is real important, we've talked about the process and the people and the who's, but we haven't focused really on the piece of property itself, because with any transaction, there will be an appraisal on the property to establish the value. And I know that the appraisal process for VA is a little bit different than the normal real estate appraisals. I know that they want to see the property to be safe, sound, and sanitary. Those are the three buzzwords that they use. And the VA panel of appraisers that are approved they're going to dig a little deeper. So when you've been out on these transactions and you've been at the appraisal, Christina, you know, do you see them doing a more thorough job or digging a little deeper? I mean, are they looking for things that other transactions aren't for the property itself?
I wouldn't necessarily say they dig a little deeper. So the concept of it is because you need it to be safe, sound, and sanitary, because when you purchase a property with your VA loan, the intent is to occupy. And if you want to be living in a house, I would think you'd want to be safe. So you're still, like, totally able to buy a fixer-upper that's not frowned upon in any way whatsoever. So I don't think they go that much deeper, but, yeah, they are going to maybe have a little red flag if something doesn't appear to be safe, sound, and sanitary. Like if there's mold or if there's cracks in the slab or something like that, then where another loan, you could purchase it like that because you'd be fixing it, hopefully. But with a VA loan, that's going to be a bigger issue because it's not, as we would like to say, move-in ready, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I was talking about, I know what it was. Not the lender credits, but the condition of the property. There's termite work, which, of course, anybody's going to be doing that's prudent. They're going to get a full termite report. Those are required on the property. Do you see that coming up all that often? I mean, on the transactions that you've done, have you seen issues or problems with that to be addressed? Anything that could be a potential deal killer? Because, frankly, I mean, some sellers may not want to do the work. And if I'm not mistaken, the veteran's not allowed to do the work themselves, per se. But do you see that termite, and what other inspections are you going to recommend to buyers when they're going into these transactions?
You are correct that the VA loan is, you're not able to do it yourself to make the, to do the project. But as far as termite goes, so you need to have a level one clearance, and that's just standard, you know, checking everything out to make sure pretty much your walls aren't being eaten from the inside by termites. And then there is a level two clearance.
Huh?
Right. Then there's a level two clearance that isn't always required, but if they find any sort of red flags in the level one, you're going to want to suggest to your client to get the level two, because that could definitely hold something up. Because, yes, I would say the VA loans, they're a little more particular about those things. You know, they want the house to be in good standing and whatnot. So as long as your level one clearance is fine, then it's one and done. But if there's anything brought to the attention, we strongly advise that you just go ahead and do the level two clearance instead of questioning it to see if it may or may not come up, and then you're just ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Christina, can you dive a little deeper and explain VA funding fees and potential waivers that might exist?
So the funding fee is the amount that the veteran is putting into sort of like this country pool, like it's the whole country and all of the veterans that use their VA loan contribute to that funding fee. And then that is, you know, the government guarantee that's backing it. So if you were to have a bad situation like default, that funding fee helps alleviate that problem. The exceptions to the funding fee are if you are 10% disabled or more, the funding fee is waived. And it's waived, like, forever. So if you, you know, end up purchasing a home and then you sell it and then you go purchase a second home under your VA loan, that funding fee is still waived every time you use it.
But if you're not disabled, you're paying. Yeah, that's 10% or more disabled. But if you're not disabled, you're paying that funding fee every time you purchase, and it can be a different amount.
Yes. And actually, if you are not 10% disabled or more, so it's not waived, then you are doing that. The funding fee the first time you use it to purchase is slightly lower. It goes up on the second one, but then from the second until 100, it stays the same.
And is this something that the veteran pays at closing, or it's financed?
It's usually rolled into the loan, the funding fee. So it's part of the loan they would get to purchase the property, their home loan.
Now, Rebecca, I saw something come out in the way of a bulletin from the Veterans Administration here. I'm thinking even just a week ago that there was a change on that hold. Do you recall seeing that? Because I think they put a limitation that used to be that your funding fee could be financed over and above whatever the county limit was. But correct me if I'm wrong. Did you see a change to that effect? Because I believe that practice has been withdrawn.
I was always under the impression that you couldn't go over the county limit
mm-hmm.
with the funding fee.
Right. And I think in those same bulletins, and Christina too, that there have been underwriting changes. Of course, the lending industry gets us updated all the time with that kind of new information, but there's been some changes for the better too on how people will qualify. We talk in the terms of active duty, of course, all the time, and those pay grades and such are the same nationwide, worldwide for that matter, for all active duty and retired persons. But if you're out of service, then you're in the regular the public sector and have a job that might have varying forms of income. They just made some dramatic changes, too, to make it easier for people to qualify and boost that income and stop some of the deductions that they were having. So lots of good news coming out there for anybody active duty. I know you mentioned briefly, Christina, National Guard and or reserve requirements, but I don't recall, did we touch down the specifics on what those were?
For National Guard and reserves, you have to be 6 years, active 6 years in the reserves or National Guard, unless you get called to active duty. So if you get called to active duty within your National Guard unit, then you now fall into the active duty requirements.
That makes sense. And can you touch also about just in generally qualifying for a VA loan? Are they more flexible on credit and debt to income than a regular conventional loan in your experience?
In my experience, yes. They are a little more flexible, and I feel, maybe this is just my personal opinion, but I kind of feel like loan officers are a little more flexible and lenient because they want to help the veterans and their active military people. They want to be
yeah.
there and support them, so they're going to be a little more flexible in what they have to work with, as yes, as far as their debt to income and their credit score and those type of things.
Yes, I have felt that too on a company-wide level, actually.
Well, we've got about 60 seconds left here for the rest of our show here, and just as a reminder, in case listeners want to reach you, Christina, would you give out your phone number one more time so if they have any specific questions, they can contact you directly?
My phone number is 920-590-0293. And I just wanted to give this little plug that if anybody is a little more curious and they're hesitant to reaching out, there is this awesome book called Ranks to Riches that will give you a ton of information to help educate you.
That's awesome. I appreciate that you're sharing. And I'd like to say thank you one more time to Christina Warden of Mission Real Estate for being our leading lady today. And special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and international, as we are an international show. And we'll be back again for another woman-led radio show, Mondays at 9 and Fridays at 2 o'clock. So it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today with my partner, Rebecca Ross. Thank you for listening very, very much, and have a great week. And we'll catch you next time around here on Women Lead Radio Show. Thanks so much.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.